This is Access All Areas on FUBAR Radio with Bobby Norris.
Good evening, guys. It is Access All Areas, and yes, we are live on FUBAR Radio. I'm Bobby Norris, and I'm back.
He's back.
He's back. It's good to be back in the old driving seat. How are you, Miss Ellen? I missed you last week. I had FOMO.
I bet you did. We had so much fun. All the blondes were back, so we had a scream, but we missed
blonde.
You.
Oh, bless you. Thank you, sweetheart. So, guys, as you know by now, we're always here to bring you all showbiz tea, the best celebrity interviews you're ever going to find, and tonight is no exception. So we are joined by Nigel Jones from Perfect Match. And then we've got the lovely Antigone coming in from Love Island.
Yes.
So we are in for a lovely reality little special. Mm-hmm. But first, our lovers out there, our regulars, you know we always start by getting the best showbiz tea of the last week. And we are joined in the studio by lovely Miss Stella. How are you doing, Stella?
I'm good. Always a pleasure to be back.
Oh, I love it when you walk through the door. You bring me joy, babes.
Yes.
What a week.
Yes, what a week. Where do I even start?
I was going to say, have you even decided on today's stories?
Yeah, but the first one is what everyone is talking about right now, and that is Zara McDermott and Graziana De Prima.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So yeah, this news kicked off over the weekend, and I'm not gonna lie, when I saw it I thought, oh, this is just, maybe it's just the sun being the sun.
Yeah.
I thought maybe this, because it just came out of nowhere, because I remember watching that series, they seemed so close, like a tight-knit duo. Yeah.
And they was so, quite big on the socials together, wasn't they, as well?
They were doing TikToks together. They seemed like a very sibling vibe around each other's houses.
I was just about to say, they look like brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
And they were meeting each other's family and going for barbecues together and stuff. Just wild.
Yeah, and then so then when Graziana published a statement himself on Instagram, it was like, oh, okay, now this is real.
Mm.
This is very real. And then Zara did one, I believe it was yesterday, basically saying that, yes, there was the stressing moments within the changing room, and that when the time is right, she'll go into further detail. But apparently Graziano is, like Giovanni, taking further legal action to clear his name. So,
oh, he is?
Yeah.
Because has he stepped back voluntarily, or is this a BBC decision?
I think it's a BBC decision to be you're done, kind of thing.
Wow.
So
Romeo done.
Yeah, exactly. Because there's been footage of, like, behaviour that's like kicking, hitting, spitting, and it's just a bit like, whoa.
Spit blind,
to the point where it made one of them cry or something like that. So,
you just don't expect this.
Exactly.
But for such a family show, and I mean, I say this year in, year out, I mean, I love Strictly.
Mm.
It's on the to-do list for me. I do love it.
Yeah.
I love the idea of having a nice fake bake every week.
Yeah.
Putting on some lycra. Some sparkles.
And, living vicariously.
Yeah, and then slut dropping for 90 seconds
love
around Elstree. I mean, what's not to want on a Saturday night? But what are we hearing, Stella? What's rumour mill? Because what started all this off? Because this is obviously last year. So we're now approaching, and I think the professionals literally start in a couple of weeks rehearsals for this year.
Exactly, yeah.
So how's this all come to now?
I think maybe because Giovanni's at the centre of everything, especially with what Amanda Abington has said, that she felt very distressed. And maybe, I don't know if this is BBC being like, okay, you know what, let's look into everybody. So maybe it was a thing of like, hold on a minute, this doesn't look right. Mm. Like, what's this all about? And yeah, and then because I've heard that Zara didn't actually make the official complaint, it was somebody else within the BBC team.
Mm.
And then they called Zara in being like, what's going on, what's all this? And that's kind of just how it kind of spirals.
So,
because I've noticed that she and Sam, her partner, they've unfollowed him off social media as well. But that's and that's only since the BBC brought it to Zara and said, what's going on here? Then they've unfollowed. So obviously she was willing to kind of play it cool and play it by ear until the BBC brought it to her.
100%, yeah, because there's been a lot on the TL as well. And it sparked an even further conversation about the victim blaming.
Yeah.
About like, oh, like, well, why didn't you say something before? Why are you only saying this now? Da-da-da-da-da. And it's just like, I mean, we'll never know what happened behind closed doors. We'll never know. And like we were talking about before, that maybe Zara's just thinking, okay, I've never met this person before. Mm. And also there is a cultural barrier. He's Italian. Mm. Maybe he's just really passionate. Maybe that's just how they do things. I don't know.
Yeah.
People that I've worked with him before said he's the loveliest, friendliest guy. So will anyone believe me? I think that's probably the one thing she's thinking is like, who's going to take me seriously?
And
so
she's seen the treatment of people who've come out in the past against Giovanni. So she's probably like, I don't want that for me. It's going to, you know,
it opens up
my
career. Can of worms.
Yeah. It does.
Do you think this is because this is a big anniversary for Strictly, 20 years this year. And after already a rocky few months with everything that had come out, the allegations and stuff from, I think, three previous contestant celebrities.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
with a different dancer. Mm-hmm. Do you think BBC and Strictly in particular are now thinking this is not the year we want it? Does it make Strictly in a rocky situation?
It kind of does, yeah, because that show's dubbed the friendliest show on TV. And yeah. I think when it airs, like in September, I think it usually does, it's the atmosphere is, viewers are going to sense a sense of like, something's a bit weird here, like what's going on? Because it's like, you'd think it's a show, like you said, that everyone looks forward to. It's just like a bit, it's a form of escapism.
Yeah.
Know all of that's going on behind the scenes. It's a bit like, oh, it just makes you feel a bit icky, you know?
Yeah. It is a bit
like,
icky.
Yeah. And are people going to be sat there on their Saturday night with like a chicken bowl and a bit of chow mein on their fork, looking at the professionals dancing, thinking, what's going on off screen? Because it's so easy for us as viewers. We sit and watch it and, I mean, I'm not a professional dancer, obviously. I'm not a dancer at all. After a couple of Jaegers, I'll give it a go. But for me, like, I always just assumed you had to have really good chemistry, because some people just click, and it's just inevitable in life, in whatever job you do, in whatever industry, some people get on better than others.
Of course, yeah.
And there's one thing that the professional and the celeb might not be best mates and become friends for life, but some people really do. They have lifelong friendships after it. But you kind of think there's got to be that little bit of chemistry there, not in a romantic way, but you kind of got to connect and put your trust, especially as the celeb, into someone. Because for a lot of people, unless you're coming from like a dance background, I know some people that do it like from pop, and which is a very different thing to doing the salsa and the tango, dancing around in the O2 or whatever. But I think you put trust into your celebrity because they're showing you something completely different. And it's a sport. I think some people forget that it's such an intense thing. Some celebs, I think, do like 10 hours of rehearsals a day.
And also another thing that like kind of gets me about this is like, if whichever celeb wins this show, it's the celeb that's going to get like thrown into the spotlight a little bit more. Like their partner was just like, it's there. But it's like, so for the partners to kind of be all the celebrity, the professional partners to get all like, no, we must win this, we just do that, and get all like weird and conductory about it, I find that a bit odd, because it's like, respectfully, when I win, you're going to be like
100%.
So it's just a bit odd.
So do the professional dancers actually get anything out of winning besides bragging rights?
That's the thing I'm thinking. Like, it's just bragging rights in my opinion that they're just seen as great, but it's just like,
I don't think they financially get any more, but I think I would assume that it kind of gets you a passport guaranteed into the next series.
Potentially,
so I think if you're bringing back the glitter ball year after year, if you win the next year, it's a pretty good guess. It's a dot on a card that BBC are going to go, do you want to come back next year? So it's more that, I think.
They're probably as well going to get some more interviews and maybe magazine deals, do you think?
True,
like, they'll probably be on This Morning as winners or whatever. Yeah. So maybe there's some money in that.
Yeah. And I think the professionals have become celebs in their own right.
Yeah,
I mean,
true,
every year we have a lot of the professionals on here. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's such a shame, because like I was saying, it's such a family show that you can sit with great gran and you can have a toddler in the room. Like, there's very few shows nowadays, God, I'm showing the age, that you can do that with. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's kind of sad, and I hope it doesn't ruin Strictly. I don't think BBC are going to axe it, because I mean, it's a global show. The format of that is in so many countries
now.
And it's a good cash cow. I would imagine.
So 100%. So all they can do moving forward is just like learn from it, and just like the BBC put a statement that they're going to have chaperones within the training rooms from now on, so like it's a safe environment for all. So the Zara and Graziano thing, I believe it's going to be an ongoing thing for a while now, because now legal action has been taken, so
it's a watch this space.
Is he suing the BBC?
I don't know if he's about suing, but similar to Giovanni, like he wants to kind of clear his name in some respect. Like, I don't know if that means, again, allegedly, that there's a form of exaggeration somewhere. I don't know.
But BBC, if you're listening, A, call me. And B, you can't axe the show, because how will everyone know it's Christmas? That is the lead up to Christmas
definitely.
For me. If we don't have Strictly, I'm sorry, I won't know what month it is.
Exactly.
Strictly's the new religion, guys. Middle over Jesus.
Let me get the calendar out.
Okay.
What else, Miss Stella? Strictly aside.
So next on the list, which I thought was quite like interesting, Bob Dylan has divided fans as he's announced that he will ban phones from his new tour.
Oh,
so
controversial.
Bob Dylan, he's 83. So I don't know if he's sort of that age where it's just like, look, you're coming to watch me. Can you just watch me, please?
Oh, Bob, there's going to be no one show up, mate. If I to leave my phone at home.
Literally,
no.
And I feel like it was quite an interesting one because it does spark a conversation. Like, at concerts, are you for phones or are you like, no, I want to live in the moment, I want to enjoy being present? Because I feel like a lot of people are kind of like half and half on this.
It's such a tricky one, isn't it? Because we are in an era now of, if it ain't on the gram, did it happen?
Yeah.
But also, we're also in a stage where I look at certain situations and I'm thinking like, are we not living in the moment? I don't think we're present enough now. So many people, you could be, especially in restaurants, I find it so bizarre. I think one of the biggest signs is you're comfortable with someone is that you can sit at a table and have like a few minutes silence.
Yeah.
But when you've got, especially like people on a date or a couple, there's just two people scrolling through their own phones. It's like, we're no longer absorbing what's going on around us.
Yeah.
And I think social skills are moving forward. And that's, I do worry about, if that sounded like a preacher. I think for the next generation and for generations coming up, I think it's because I'm at like 6 weeks, like you was out, you was on your bike, you was playing. I know we live in very different times now, but technology is such a huge part of our life now.
Yeah, exactly.
What's your thoughts, Stella? So, are you an iPhone girl or other brands are available, but you get it out at the O2?
No, I'm an iPhone girl. Like when I went to see Beyonce, for example, there were moments where like I did have my phone and recorded some bits, but like when I do see like people's IG stories, they're at a concert and literally like the stories are literally like split into 50 parts.
So
I actually find that such an ick. Like, okay, come on.
So annoying.
That's a bit
it's
excessive.
Like, I get you're enjoying your concert, but it sounds shit all over the phone. Like, this viewing for me is awful because I'm hearing you singing.
Yeah, exactly.
And people beside you screaming.
And 50 parts as well. It's just a bit like, okay, like you were clearly that person that's just like, because imagine you're standing at a concert and someone's just like this and you're behind them and that's like kind of, not all you can see, but I can imagine it's just a bit like,
you're
it's
watching distracted. It through their phone.
It makes me, without sounding true, it makes me ill.
Yeah.
If I open someone's story and the lines are actually dots.
Yeah.
And if it's 70, and I think you're making me feel sick.
Yeah.
I have to check out emotionally, physically, because I'm like, it's a no from me.
Yeah, definitely. So that's
but
why
like,
I'm kind of 50-50.
Also, you're not going to ever look back on those videos, even if you're taking videos and not posting them.
Yeah.
Like, if you're never going to look back and then they're clogging up your phone.
Yeah.
What I tend to do is pick my top song or favourite two songs and then just get the chorus of them and post them.
And then I'm done.
That's it.
Yeah.
Be done with it. Yeah.
Exactly, yes.
Right, you have been to Beyonce or Taylor Swift. We get it. Now,
Put the phone down.
Enjoy yourself.
And live in the moment, guys.
Yeah, so he's very much like, no phones. If you want to come see me, we live in the moment together, guys.
Will it be enforced? Do you know? Because you know he's saying he's banning it. I'm sure, is it, people ain't going to get kicked out, are they?
Because like, when I go to certain screenings, like for example, when I go to certain screenings and like if it's like a big spoiler and they're like, they don't trust anybody, if they have phones on them, they don't trust anybody to not be cheeky and do like a sneaky film. They have like little clear plastic bags where it's like, put your phone in, and they have security standing on each kind of like kind of pillar to be like on the lookout if anyone's doing anything sneaky.
Hashtag no spoilers.
So unless it's going to be that kind of thing at his concert, I don't know how they're going to do it. No. So.
Maybe he's just putting it out there. So if he hopes, if he sees anyone in the crowd with a phone, he'll be like, remember my ban. Like,
literally.
You know, call them out. But you can't make people leave their phones at home because their ticket is going to be on that.
That's the thing.
How are they going to get in the tube?
We live in a world where your phone is actually, and I was saying this to someone not that long ago, ironically, the thing I use my phone for the least is making phone calls.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
Which is bizarre.
If somebody rings me, I'll watch it ring. And text them and go, is everything okay?
And then do the text like, you called me?
Yeah. Like, why did you call
me? Sorry I missed your call. But I think my phone has been on silent for about 13 years. I think since I started working in tele, because like when you're always shooting and filming things, you're so used to your phone just being on silent. Yeah. Even if I could tell you, I don't know what my ring, if my life depended on it, I don't know what my ringtone is. If it started making a noise, I'd freak out.
It's
about that. Like, what's that sound? The only sound, and another thing that's anxiety inducing for me, is an iPhone alarm.
Oh my gosh.
In pub, because you wake up to it so often. Yeah. You know, if you're sat on a train or a tube, or you might be at a picnic, I don't know why I say picnic, I very rarely have picnics, but say we're at a picnic and someone's got it for whatever reason and it goes off in the day.
Oh my gosh.
It literally fills me with, you know, like that Sunday night feeling when you're at school and you've got to go, you get Sundayitis.
Yeah.
And I've got school to it. It's that kind of doom.
I hate it.
Literally.
I hate it. It's an awful feeling, the wake up.
There goes my Apple ads and sponsorships.
Go, yeah.
So from one musician to another. So Lily Allen. So he didn't come home for the football.
Oh.
And she was accused of being anti-working class because she basically posted a picture on Twitter, X, of like an AI-generated image of like these middle-aged men, bald men, crying with Union Jack underpants. And I didn't really get this. Mm. But a lot of people were like, why do you despise the working class? And I looked through like the comments underneath and I was like, it was filled with people just saying that, like, why do you see a large, bald, white male and assume working class?
So I think she's assuming football fan.
Yes.
As opposed to working class.
Yes.
Because when I think football fan, I'm not thinking, like, Brad Pitt.
Exactly.
I'm thinking, you know, bald, beer belly, because he likes the beer to watch the sport, goes to the pub to watch the sport and goes to games.
And I thought a lot of people just felt like, oh, that's not representative of everyone, every man that likes football and stuff. And it's like, yeah, we get that. But it's just like, it's just a joke. I think she was just like playing about and stuff like that. But it was after the Euros, people were in sensitive mode, I think. Yeah, anyway.
It's interesting, isn't it, how we all have preconceptions, because you have that like beer belly, bald-headed, I don't know necessarily, like, did you say bald, but you said, like, the beard. I think football fit men.
Do you?
Yeah, but I'm not much of... True.
You're thinking
It's a salt in a shot that does it for me.
Because when I think football players, now I think we think David Beckham.
Yes.
But fans, I'm thinking hooliganism.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely.
But that's a stereotype that football has always had to deal with.
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
Throughout the years. Mm. And it's to do with media and headlines and everything and footage of the football.
You can tell I don't spend many a Saturday afternoon at West Ham.
I really did want to ask, how did you guys feel on Sunday night? Because, it was emotions I can gather were just all over the place. I know this is like football kind of, I guess you can cast it as like entertainment-ish.
Yeah.
Because it's like everybody was involved, everyone was watching it. But like, what was your feelings
I didn't watch it. I'm Irish, so I could hear my boyfriend cheering from the other room.
Spitting at the telly.
whenever Spain scored, he was going, get it! I don't know why the Irish hate the English winning, but that's just part of it.
I only really watch, and again, this sounds awful, but you know, I'm so honest, like I'm an open book, but I'm not much of a football boy. But if it's World Cups, Euros, is there anything else?
Champions League.
But if it's something worth watching in the night, if people are getting flags out, that's how I kind of like. And if it's kind of it's good for morale, I might give it a go. But it's not one of them that I'm putting on the Sky Planner. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think hats off to the boys. Darling.
Did you watch any of it?
No, I was travelling, because I'd been away, hadn't I? But I'd seen bits and bits, obviously on social media and stuff. Yeah. But congratulations to the boy. I think even getting to the final, because I remember, like, going back to my school days, England never really got to the final of anything. Very rare. Do you know what I mean? It was kind of just almost a foregone conclusion that we was never really guaranteed a World Cup every 4 years. Mm. Is it every 4 years?
Yeah, every 4 years.
Check
yeah.
me. Bobby Sports Show coming soon to FUBA. We've teased it. But I think there's a turnabout. And sad news about Gareth... I was going to say I'll Gates there, not Gareth. there goes match of the day.
I can't believe Gareth Gates didn't win the X Factor. It's so sad.
Gareth Southgate is handing in his notice. Yeah. Resignation?
Yeah.
Sad. How do you feel about that Stella?
It was interesting, cause I'm not really a football fan myself, but it was in the house. I have two brothers, so obviously it was in the house. But they've been saying that, if England, even regardless of the result, from what I heard, whether they won or didn't, it was his last. It was kind of like the last strike for him, kind of like they were like, it's time for a new manager. But I was always thinking that, like, England haven't won the World Cup since 1966, I believe, and they haven't won a Euros.
Well, the men's team, because the girls' team won it last year, didn't they?
Yeah, for the men in particular. But it's just like all this, like, kind of hate towards Gareth. But I'm thinking, hold on a minute. Mm. Over the years, what manager has brought England to victory?
Has even got you to the final?
So it's just like, why all this vim and like hate for Gareth? Yeah. Like, no other manager since, I don't know, however when, has even done it. So, I don't understand it. Maybe there's a whole politics included in that I don't know.
From someone who's got about as much knowledge that you could fit on a stamp about football. I thought we'd done a really good job.
I think he looked great.
Do you know what? I did feel for him, though, because obviously he'd be gutted. He's been in that situation himself as well, because he used to be a footballer.
Yeah.
And I think he's probably used to losing these kind of tournaments, yeah, if they're lucky enough to get there. And part of him probably was emotionally himself and felt gutted.
Of course.
But the way he was supporting the lads on the pitch, I kind of thought, I'm loving the South Gate.
I felt bad when he was booed when they were doing, you know, it's like, come on.
Because imagine the added pressure from the public as well must be like insane. Huge. As well. Yeah.
And it's like people take this so serious, don't they? Yeah. You don't fuck about with. Yeah. No,
it's not as if they're trying to lose. Like, they're trying to do
they're like all in the dressing room. Do you know what? Fuck it. Shall we just balls it up?
Yeah. Piss off the fans.
Oh, dear.
Okay. And now we've got, okay, so have you guys heard Katy Perry's new single?
No.
It's a Woman's World. And it's not getting the response that, like, basically everyone's just like clowning her, basically saying we're not in 2016 anymore, love, like we've kind of evolved, because basically it's basically a song about like female empowerment, but like the lyrics versus like the video is a very big contradiction, because it's like women all one body figure showing off skimpy clothes, showing off like a lot of like skin,
and people have had their say on
people are just a bit like, this isn't giving what you thought it was going to give.
You can't see number one coming anytime soon.
Like, I've heard it, and it was just like, I think Katie's trying to live in her, because she dominated. Like, I don't know what year it was, but she dominated, and it's like she's trying to reclaim that back, but it's just like, no.
Maybe this ain't the track for that. Stella, thank you so much, darling.
No worries,
always an absolute pleasure. We love you here. Guys, we're going to go to a little trail, and then we're going to be joined by Nigel from Perfect Match. We will see you in two.
Access All Areas continues next. FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio presents
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
Joining me now, I have Claire Seal, who is a content creator and author.
You know, I think there's loads of shame when it comes to money and financial difficulty, but I honestly think that that shame is really a symptom of the judgment that exists in society. I don't think that people are feeling ashamed for the sake of it. I think they're feeling ashamed because you can't really sort of open your phone or open a newspaper without seeing these huge judgments piled on people who've made mistakes with money. And I think it's acceptable for people to slag you off about being bad with money in a way that it might not be for like other mistakes that you might make.
Politics Uncensored with Ali Milani.
Let's bring in Tobias Elwood, former Defence Minister.
Rishi Sunak has done well to pivot us back, taken us into far calmer political waters.
Has he taken you back into calmer political waters? I mean, you're on track, according to some of the polls, to the largest wipeout in years, and, you know, may never return from it. I mean, how has he taken you back into calmer political waters?
We've just seen inflation go down to 2%. Confidence in business is returning.
But is that down to Rishi Sunak?
You've got to let me finish the question. You keep asking me a question and then throwing another question in.
I'm just curious to know, is inflation down to Rishi Sunak?
What the Health with Gabby Allen.
I have the stunning Steph Williams with me now, founder of the We Glow app. I did Turf Games on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
And it was horrible. It was horrible. But it was so fun. But it was like savage, right? Yeah. But I wasn't the best in the room and I hate that. And I was like, oh God, I haven't trained like well enough for this. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, I don't normally think I am. But then when I was there, I was like, this is so annoying because... Yeah. And then I was like, why do I actually need to be good at this though? Yeah. Like, can I not just do it for fun?
But also it's like when I've done like casts and stuff before and the blokes were like, lift that heavier weight, and I'm like, no, like I'm good.
Yeah.
I don't need to lift the heavier weight. Like, I know what I'm capable of. I know what works for my body.
Yeah.
And I think it's just kind of like, I know what makes me feel good.
Yeah.
And ultimately, if you're working out to feel good, you're gonna look good.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back to Access All Areas, guys. We are live on FUBAR Radio and we are joined by Nigel Jones from Perfect Match. Hello, Nigel.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi,
Nigel. Good, thank you, mate. How are you? Thanks for joining us on Access All Areas.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
You're so, so welcome. So, Nigel, we've got to start. First question. How's life been for you since winning Perfect Match with Christine? Has it all been a bit of a whirlwind?
To say the least, it has been a whirlwind, but I'm taking it day by day, you know, enjoying everything about it. And it's been great. It hasn't changed that much, but, you know, it definitely, you know, a little bit, matter of fact, a lot, it has been a whirlwind, so.
Wow.
And what social media saying? Also, you're no newbie to social media, and I'm sure you know how it all works by now. But have you noticed what's the vibe? What's the climate saying, Nigel, on the social media in terms of the show airing?
You know, at first, everyone was like, you know, Stephen and Lara should have won. I don't know how you and Christine won. But now that people are, you know, just seeing the facts and, like, time's going by, they're like, okay, you guys should have won because we were the longest relationship out of the house. We actually try to work on it and see if we can make it happen. So, you know, it's a bittersweet feeling. But now that me, Christine, and I are, you know, just broken up, but we're still cordial. You know, everything's okay.
Because you won an all-expenses trip, the pair of you, to go to Thailand. How was that? A romantic little trip?
Oh, my gosh. Thailand was beautiful. It was like art. It was just so natural. Everybody was just kind and just happy and humble. And I had a great time in Thailand.
Were you still in a honeymoon phase while you were in Thailand? Was everything still good?
Yeah. So that just put everything. It was just the cherry on top of our situation. So, you know, I had a great time. She had a great time. And we, you know, had a couple experiences. So.
And it is a beautiful country. Mm. Now, Nigel, I'm not sure if you tuned in a couple of weeks ago, but here on Access All Areas, we had Christine on, and she claimed that you cheated on her whilst you guys was in a relationship. I want to give you your right to reply. What do you say to that in response?
And I appreciate that. I'm definitely going I'll try to keep it as tactful as possible, but Christine, she knows what she did to basically to catalyze that situation. I don't want to really put her out there, but she did something that I couldn't really forgive. Mind you, we just literally won the show. So we're coming back home. We're speaking on the phone for hours upon the day and just really loving on each other. Like you said, the honeymoon phase of the situation. And she did something. And it was just hard for me to kind of forgive that situation. And that kind of led me to talking to someone that I had back home. So I didn't cheat on her. We weren't boyfriend and girlfriend. We didn't have a title, first and foremost. So it wasn't just me being 100% transparent. That's where I messed up at. But you know, I wasn't the first to mess up. Let me just say that.
So if she hadn't have messed up, would you not have got back with your ex, or would you not have rekindled whatever you had there? I don't want to put a label on that it was your ex or not, but this girl that you had back home from before, if things had been fine and Christine didn't do what she did, would that never have happened? Or do you think it was always inevitable that you was going to be drawn back to the girl back home?
It was no reason to, honestly. Like, our relationship was on a downward slope. Even though I liked her, I tried to work it out, but the show was her, you know, her last thing for me because she couldn't really understand the show, me going on the show. It wasn't my ex, it was just some girl I was talking to, but, you know, we had great feelings for each other. But Christine was like a light in my situation to where it's like, okay, a new beginning. There's no reason to backtrack. But since she did that, it was like, okay, let me just try to work it out with her. And wasn't cheating at all. It was just, you know, me not being transparent again. So
yeah. Mm.
And how are you now with Christine? Are you guys still talking, or is there any chance of a rekindling things there?
To be honest, I think we haven't talked for a couple of weeks. I don't know if she's feeling very emotional right now or what the case is. She's vindictive, but I'm just staying out her way. I'm cordial on my side. It's no beef with me. So I can say the door's still open. It might be closed. I don't know what she might say. But like I said, it's no beef on my side. But we haven't talked in a few weeks. So.
Mm. Okay.
One of them playing by ear, I guess. Mm. Seeing how it all goes, letting the dust settle. Nigel, I wanted to ask, obviously, you know how reality TV works. This ain't your first dating show in particular. How did it compare filming Perfect Match compared to Too Hot to Handle?
I mean, Too Hot to Handle was like a militant style filming. It was like, okay, we'll film all day. It'll be like a hurry up and wait type of game with Too Hot to Handle. I met a lot of great people on Too Hot to Handle. With Perfect Match, it was more so relaxed. I didn't go into the house until like later on though. So it was like I was in a hotel literally at the resort just pacing back and forth wondering what's going on, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna be the last on the show. I'm gonna have to fight an upward battle. But the filming style was very smooth, just laid back, and they kind of just let you have at it. So both were just opposite, polar opposite, I could say. But you know, I'm glad I kind of went in on that lastly, because you see what happened. But in, you know, two out the hand, I kind of went in hard the first couple episodes, and I just laid back a little bit. So you know, that's the difference.
I'm intrigued to know how you found it in terms of the show itself, because here in the UK, I was on a TV show, a reality TV show. I did 10 years on it, so I know exactly how reality TV works. Did you see, I love that he laughs at that. 10 years, long time, Nigel. How did you find, in terms of going from Too Hot to Handle to Perfect Match, and Perfect Match being all the cast know exactly how reality TV works, Do you think that changed the game a little bit? Because everyone's a little bit savvy. When you know how TV works, especially reality TV, people turn up with, there's game plans, there's agendas, people want the followers. Did you notice that?
I could say yes, because you know it's very produced and edited, and it's in a controlled environment. So especially like if you're a seasoned vet in reality TV, I feel like a lot of people just lean on, you know, just the popularity, the clout, not really trying to find a genuine connection, because, you know, they already did their first show. The first show was like, okay, you don't know what the heck is going to happen. So it's just like you're going in blind and, you know, just whatever happens, happens. But the second show, you kind of know, you get the gist of it. You know, you see some familiar faces and it's like, okay, maybe I should just do it for, you know, the after effect, or, you know, not more so for the love of it. And it's like, it's messed up, because some people are really trying to find like a genuine connection, and but it is what it is. So you just have to be very clairvoyant on the people around you, and just know like, okay, he's fake, she's fake, he's here for what and that, and just kind of idolize that and just be just yourself at the end of the day. That's all you can do, is just be yourself while everybody else trying to, you know, get followers, whatever the case may be. So
yeah. Was there any moments of the show when you watched it back that weren't shown, that you were surprised weren't shown?
Oh yeah. So like people thought that we, Christine and I, were in the house for literally one day on the show, which is not true. We literally had a compatibility challenge. We had an extra date to get to really know each other. We spent a lot of time in the house, I'm not sure why they didn't show it. So I can understand why people were like, okay, why, how the heck did they win? Which is understandable, but I wish they had shown that compatibility challenge that we won. And also the extra date, which wasn't really, you know, sexual. It was really just getting to know each other. We were going out to eat, and we just did, like, you know, it was very peaceful. And it kind of just solidified our, you know, situation together. So I wish people would have seen that.
It was like your progression of your relationship. It wasn't shown. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Nigel, I wanted to pick your brains and get your thoughts on something that's been posted on social media. So Chris posted a video claiming that there was a pact between the outside contestants to vote for each other in the final. Is this true, or do you think he was being a bit economical with the truth and maybe telling a few lies?
Yeah, so let me start first and foremost. It was a pact for the people, the beginners that were in the house, to basically not let anyone else in the house, to make them feel uncomfortable so they can stay in the house, because that made the challenge. So it's a lot of people that didn't get like a lot of screen time and just, you know, things like that. But regardless of a pact, nobody came up to Christine and I and said, hey, we're going to vote for you. I want you guys to win. So if it was like a pet, that was in their own terms. So, you know, I don't know what the heck was going on. Christine and I were just happy to be there, happy to be together. We didn't expect to win. So some of the singles may have been vindictive and, you know, voted for us, but it would have been like two or three people. You know, it wouldn't have mattered, because it wasn't a landslide victory. It was about one vote. So,
yeah, so it really.
But, you know, me and Christine didn't know anything about it, so.
And what's the situation now in terms of, and you and some of the contestants, are you friendly with any of them still, or has everyone kind of gone back to their real lives and everyone's just cracking on and there is no contact?
I feel like it's both. I'm friends with a lot of people. Then again, I don't talk to a lot of people, so they might have went back to their regular lives, doing what they do, because I'm not gonna lie, it could be overstimulating for some people, you know, just, you know, the feedback and, you know, just what happened on camera or what didn't happen on camera. And some people just need to take, you know, cold turkey off the situation. So I haven't talked to a lot of people, but I have talked to, you know, my select few. So, you know, we stay in contact.
Yeah, because it is a strange thing. Unless someone's lived in the TV bubble, especially reality TV bubble, it's really hard to compute. And I notice this, especially when it comes to relationships and dating more from a dating show I've done. But in the reality bubble, you kind of live things. It's not just the one. So in real life, you live something and you deal with it at that time. So with friends, family, partners, you're manoeuvring it and you're computing it there and then. When it's pre-recorded, you live through that emotion the first time. It hasn't aired, so you guys know what's happened. Then you have to relive it once it goes on air and then it goes to screen. And then some people that might have got over things in the weeks or months, however long it takes for that footage to come to light, that they're over it. But then they relive it again or they see something. Yeah. And then they start getting pissed off again about something. have you noticed that, Nigel?
Yeah, it just opens a wound again. It's just sawing a wound, and it sucks. It really does suck because you think you heal from the situation, and then boom, a million people see it. So it's like, damn. Then you have to explain yourself, and it's just like I said, it's very overstimulating. It can be stressful, but that's the nature of the beast. You know, that's just reality TV in a whole. So you know, that's what you sign up for. So you got to just kind of deal with it. You know, taking a stride. So
absolutely, yeah. You got to shit or get off the pot.
That's it.
That is how it is, isn't it? That is the game. If you don't like the game,
yeah,
hate the player, not the game. Right? So what are you gonna do?
Definitely, exactly. I agree. So that's what's next for you then? Do you have any more reality TV shows in the pipeline?
So, honestly, I think I want to model and act more, just go hard with that. Mm-hmm. Reality TV isn't off the table, but what people have to realize, like, you know, you really get your genuine feelings mixed up in this. So it's like, it's kind of just stressful, but after you do like one or two shows, like, it's just like, okay, now what's next? I don't want to be known for like not finding love on reality TV or not working out. So
yeah,
I kind of want to just find love in real life. I wouldn't mind another reality show, but you know, I definitely want to find love because it's hard out here, you know? So, but definitely modeling and acting. So that's what's next for me.
I can see that happening. If you know, you've got a good look. I can see a lot of people wanting to jump on it. And the thing is, I didn't mean it to sound quite like that. I meant jumping on the modelling. Sorry, Nigel. But also, like you're saying, I get what you're saying, because especially when you've done two dating shows, you almost don't want to run the risk of your career being that you have to be single to work. And if you're in a relationship, you ain't getting the reality show. So there's that very fine line where you kind of probably organically want to meet someone and not have your job dependent on being single to try and meet someone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You hit it on the head. So that's why I don't really want to be known for. So, you know, it's good. It's a great experience. You meet a lot of great people when you have a good time doing it. But it kind of weighs on you, honestly. Like you said, you don't want to be relying on being single or in a relationship, you know. I want to do something like a Fear Factor or something like that. Something that involves athletic abilities or being outside. So I wouldn't mind doing those type of reality shows.
Yeah, fine. Yeah. That would be good.
And I bet, actually, a hell of a lot easier than the dating side of things. Oh, yeah. Even though them shows are not easy, it's going to be a piece of piss. If you can handle them two shows, it'll be a walk in a park.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Nigel, thank you so much for joining us, mate. It's been a pleasure. And like I say, wanted you to have your right to reply and get your thoughts and your truth out there. So thank you for joining us, mate.
Thank you for having me. And I have to watch the episode too. You know, it's crazy because I'm not even gonna speak on it, but
you watch it back and then come back to us.
Take care, mate.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Have a good one.
Bye. You too.
Ah, oh, lovely.
Nice little chat there. Nice chat. Guys, we're going to go to a little break now. We'll be back in a couple of minutes with the lovely Antigone. We're going to be talking all things Love Island and her new single. We'll see you in two.
Grab your backstage passes and prepare to access all areas.
FUBAR Radio presents
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
Joining me in the studio was AJ and Curtis Pritchard.
When I used to go on Strictly, I used to think of it as like a public service. I'm entertaining somebody
for 90
and
seconds.
And we salute you.
And
thank
just, like,
you, AJ.
I want people to forget about their problems. I know it's a really weird mentality.
No, it's a... You are right in a way, right? Because there
but
are
you never
people
made
that
the final.
Yeah, there was no need for that.
What the Health with Gabby Allen.
I'm joined by fellow Love Island contestant, Adam Maxted, and professional wrestler, may I add. If you could wrestle any celebrity, who would it be?
I'm trying to think who would be...
Someone needs to like, be like your height, your size. Come on, you've got to be fair about it. It can't be like a little weasel.
Maybe like Anthony Joshua or something.
Jesus. Really? You know. You reckon you could take Anthony Joshua?
In a boxing fight, probably not.
But in a wrestling match. Yeah.
In a wrestling match, I back myself.
Okay, fair.
Access all areas with Bobby Norris.
TikTok sensations Jack and Sorrel. Iconically, there have been some amazing celeb couples. Who would be your favourite of all time?
David Beckham and Victoria. And
goals.
I just think, like, the twists and turns of it all, but still being together like that, that to me is peak celeb.
For me, do you know what? I just love a good power couple. We had Beyonce, Jay-Z. Like,
yes.
I want them to reign highly. I want them to be girl bossing, man bossing, just bossing throughout, and us obsessed with them separately and together.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back to Access All Areas. We are live on FUBAR Radio, and we've just had the model walking. And Tigna, you are stunning. She's giving mermaid.
Yeah, thank you.
You
I know.
Always
can't
look.
Take my eyes off her.
We came closer, wouldn't we?
We did. It's like
you know,
we rang
things
ahead.
Like that make me so happy.
Really?
Like, really?
Yeah, I know. We got a photo.
I didn't get the memo.
You
it's clearly.
It's okay. That makes, do you know what that means? That makes you Beyonce in our trio today.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. We're the backing dancers.
Yeah.
I'll take that. I love that. It's so lovely to see you. I've not seen you, for a little while.
It's been ages. I haven't been in London. I've been living in Athens for the last year, so I just got back.
I love a bit of grace. You're a busy girl nowadays, aren't you? There's so much I want to ask you, but obviously I've got to start with, because it's how so many of our listeners and followers originally got to know you on our screens from Love Island. Have you been watching this season, or I'm guessing not if you're in Athens.
Do you know what? I actually haven't, but you can't avoid it. Like, because I obviously follow Love Island on Instagram. Mm. I see every day the highlights and the teasers, and you kind of get, so I kind of know what's going on.
Literally.
So I know a little bit, but I'm not like fully invested.
You're not, you've got the toe in, but you ain't got the leg in.
It's hard to avoid, really, isn't
you can't,
it? Like, you know all the characters and who's dating who.
I know what's going on. I know that... AO kind of shut things off with Mimi.
There you go.
Right? You see?
That's it.
How do you find, from what you see on social alone, obviously, how do you feel when content pops up on Love Island? Is it fond memories?
Yeah,
is it triggering?
Totally. No, totally. You know, and I'm like, I'll always be cool to talk about it and whatever. I feel like, you know, you sign up to the show, it's going to always be part of the story, and I'm good with that. And it's like definitely fond memories. It was a crazy time.
Yeah,
I really like. I enjoyed my experience and like what everything that came after it. So yeah, I'm good with it.
Did you feel cheated at all? Because you were only in there for 8 days, was it?
Yeah, do you know what though? I believe in the universe, and I think that someone up there was looking out for me, and that was what my story was meant to be.
Yeah.
I feel like I was lucky enough that I was portrayed as myself for the most part. I felt like I got like a kind of honest kind of show of that. And, you know, it worked out well for me. I mean, I'll be honest, when I first like left and it was only like a week, I thought this is a disaster. Like, I'm just like, you know what I mean? Ordinarily.
Because the whole process you go through in the I think a lot of people just think you rock up, jump on your easy jet. Get there.
Definitely.
There's a whole build up to getting cast and getting on there.
No, exactly. And you know, normally it's just not a good sign if you leave so early. But like, thankfully, I came back to so much love, and like most people felt like I'd been cheated. But it still blows my mind how many people watch the show. And like, I've just been in Greece, like I said, I was in Mykonos, and there's loads of Americans, and the amount of people that come, they're like, "Oh my God, you're Antigone from Love Island." I'm like, why do you guys watch this? People from like Lebanon, from like Saudi, like the most crazy places, all do it, and like. they tend to know me because it's like the Middle Eastern connection, because I'm from Cyprus, obviously. So yeah, I'm not mad at the way it went, because I'm happy. And
it's all worked out well. Yeah.
My husband wasn't in there anyway, so I even wasted my time.
So why waste any more outfits? You don't, you 8 days.
And I landed
time
back
to
in
go.
London on Gay Pride, which is like my favourite day of the year in London, with my mum and sister. So I came back to such a fun day. It got 2 years ago now, but like, yeah, it was great.
Oh my God.
Absolutely love that.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you, babe, like, I mean, you've got fond memories, which is amazing. Mm. If the phone rang now, hopefully it won't during the interview, but say it did after.
Put me on silent.
And it will. No, you're all right, babe. Won't kick you out the studio if it does. But say it's ITV calling, and they're like, right, babe, there's a boarding pass. It's just been emailed to you. Get yourself to Stansted. Jump on a flight. We want you to be a bombshell in the morning. What would you say to ITV?
Do you know what? I don't think I'd do it. Like, listen, I never say never, because you don't know in this life. I never thought I would have done Love Island in the first place, honestly. Mm. When I first got the email about it, I literally screenshotted it to my family group chat. I was like, never in a million years.
Oh, my God.
You never know. But yeah. I don't think so. I don't think so, because I feel like I said, it went really nicely for me. I'm happy with it. Like, I don't want to go and muddy it. And,
yeah.
You know, and I don't think so. I don't think so.
Do you know, as well, your music career started quite young.
Yeah.
So you were signed to a record label at 14?
Yeah, to a publishing deal. So it was for songwriting.
Right.
Yeah, when I was 14. And then I signed my first record deal. I think I was like 17.
Oh my God.
And then I signed with Island Records and I was 19. It's been a roller coaster. It's been a journey. Yeah.
And do you think people think then that your single that you have out now, it's called Lie Lie, that is off the back of Love Island? Have people thought that? Or do people know that you were a songwriter and musician before you went in?
I think people know that I was a singer first, because I think even when I went on the show, I was like, I'm a singer.
Yeah.
And if you look at my socials or whatever, it's always been like who I am and what I do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, but there's definitely people that like probably speculated that. Mm-hmm. But I've been doing this music thing for a long time.
Yeah, I know, Birch Radio.
It should have been in the Grammys for a while.
Put it out there, babe. Put it out there. Yeah. Just want to come back to you and say, like, when you got the initial email, like, so when Love Island approached you to do it the first time round, did they send another email when they was casting for All Stars? Did they ask if you would do it?
I did get a call. Yeah, I did get a call to see if I was interested. But I at first said, I'll come in for a chat. And then I didn't even end up bothering going, because I just thought, it's not what I want to do.
Right.
It didn't feel right. It's not what I'm after right now, what my soul wants or what I'm chasing. Like, you know, it was such a fun thing to do, but it's not like my story.
So do you think if you was to have accepted All Stars when it was offered, do you think you would have been doing it for the wrong reasons? Like, in terms of, like, you know, some people, and everyone has their own story and their own journey, the most overused word in reality TV.
Yeah.
But some people, and there's no shame in it, some people go on shows for the profile and the clout and stuff. Mm. I think I would just rather be honest and go, you know, if I meet someone lovely, but actually I'd quite like a pretty little thing deal.
I've always said this from the get-go.
Yeah. But like, that's why I think you're so refreshing.
Because I think everybody is lying.
Yeah.
If I say
that they're just going on there for love, that doesn't mean that you won't find love. Because they're like, it's actually crazy how many couples are married or have kids or have made it. Like, you can find love on that show for sure. And if my husband was in there, I always say this, then great.
Yeah, like, you weren't gonna.
I would have been down for that. But like, anybody who says that they're purely going on there to find love, like, that is not the easiest way to find love.
I know.
It's not the most possible. The chances, like, you're going on there because it's an amazing experience. It's really fun. It's really cool. And who knows what, like, opportunities can come from it. I don't think that's the wrong reasons.
No.
I actually think it's like people that, like, I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but I think it's disingenuous to say that you're just going on there for love. It's like all reality TV. You know, you're making a life for yourself. You're figuring out what your story can be and what can come from it, what you can do. Like, why not?
Did you notice a difference? Like you say, obviously music has always been your destiny and you was doing it well before Love Island came into your life. But, you know, some people, especially if they only get to know you from a TV show in particular, do you think you face an even harder time of things stepping into another industry? Because I think I noticed when I started presenting years ago that some people just wanted me to be a reality boy in a reality box. Mm. And I was like, we don't like it. And it takes people almost years, honestly, years for sure, to see you in a different light. And they're like, no, actually, he's good. He can do that. He's good at that. Yeah. We'll accept that. But I mean, I'll never tell him I said I want a game at White Hart Lane.
Right.
Or I want to sing a song because people, I ain't Adele. I can.
You can hold a tune.
Well, I can't. I'm tone deaf.
Good karaoke guy.
But I know what I. Not even. I did get to the final of celebrity karaoke, but I think that was a pity vote. But I'm very realistic in what I can do. And I think in life, we all know what we can do. And I think sometimes we should let people step into other fields.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, listen, you look at so many people. Cardi B is one of the biggest artists in the world. Mm. She literally has won Grammys and played at the biggest stages in the world. And she started on a reality show, Love and Hip Hop.
I didn't even know that.
Exactly. So, you know, for me, I always knew going into the show that I was going to face like the Love Island stigma when it comes to music. I kind of took that on the chin. I knew that was going to be the case, and I definitely have felt that, and I definitely, it's quite frustrating because I think sometimes people doubt my credibility. It's only when they come to a show or they watch put and they go, oh, okay, she's actually good.
Yeah.
And but I'm okay with that, you know, like there's something satisfying about, you know, showing people what I can do in the moment. But there's pros and cons to both, you know, like before I went on Love Island, I was literally, you know, I was working side jobs. I was doing like, whether it was like waitressing or whether it was like little open mic nights to get 50 quid. It was like, you know, I wasn't making money as an independent musician because I was independent again. You know, I had money left over from my record deal with Island that didn't work. And I was using that to like build my music up and fund my career, but it wasn't enough to live on and sustain. And like my parents were looking at me sideways, like, girl, you gotta, you know. So what Love Island did was give me liberty to make money on social media to continue pursuing my dream. I knew I wasn't gonna leave Love Island and overnight be Dua Lipa. Like, I knew it wasn't gonna be like that simple.
Yeah.
But what it's done is given me the freedom and the opportunities to be able to keep doing music and be like financially okay.
Yeah.
And I, like I mentioned, I was living in Greece and I was opening up for one of the biggest artists out there. If I didn't turn up in Greece with however many followers I have, I would have never got that opportunity.
Right. Yeah.
So it all works out in a weird way.
It was all part of the plan.
Yeah, there's pros and cons. I definitely, like, you know it. Like, there's definitely a stigma when you do reality TV, but, you know, who cares?
But you know what? I very much have the mentality, but I'm kind of like this when it comes to trolls or anything. I've got such a thick skin. Like, I'll take it on a chin. And I don't know if this is a really weird thing to say, but it makes me want to prove you 100%. Wrong.
Yeah.
If you tell me I can't do so, I'm like, bollocks.
Watch me
do it. And exactly. I've got to show you that I could do it. So actually, you're spurring me on to be the best version of me. Because if you tell me I can't do it, I'm doing it, boo.
Exactly. And you know, the thing is, like you said, you know what you're good at. People want to hear you talk. People want to see you doing what you're doing now. So you do that. Like, and it's the same with music. Like, I like it when I go to like a snooty gig or something, and then there's other artists, and then I go on and I do what I do, and I see people go like, kind of the attitude is like, oh yes, that Antigone from Love Island, and then slowly I watch them go,
little dance,
fair enough, yeah. All right, cool, and I love that. That's a win. So yeah. You know,
we're the same.
Yeah, exactly.
Love that.
I mean, amazing. Listen, sometimes it's like, don't be mean.
I don't love
mean comments and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like I don't. There's definitely times where it's like a little bit disheartening. Mm.
Yeah.
But you just have to learn to let it bounce off you.
Yeah.
Especially if you're going to have a career in this industry.
Exactly.
That's
so
the thing. You have to be thick skin.
It's kind of trained you in a way to when you're a big successful musician.
Yeah. And I think I went into the show with quite like a level. I knew who I was, and I had a level head, and I'd been hustling in this industry for a while, and also I'd been in this scene a lot.
It wasn't
like all of a sudden my whole world changed. Actually, it didn't, other than the fact that people knew me, my days didn't change. The people I was mixing with didn't change that much, so it wasn't like such a shock to the system.
You knew the coup before.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It weren't like you was naive to it. You knew exactly what you had to come out and do it.
Yeah.
What's been like your biggest pinch me moment, because so many mad things happen, is opening huge tours for people, being recognised by people from the States or Australia, because a lot comes from, because you still live your life, you don't ever feel any different yourself.
No.
You go do these jobs or these TV shows, you're still you.
Yeah.
But then it's almost life changes around you. It's not you that changes.
Yeah. If you've got good people around you and you're in that place, then I guess not. I don't really know what my biggest pinch me moment is. Like, actually, my biggest pinch me moment is when I worked with a songwriter called Diane Warren, who was always like a big influence to me. But this is before Love Island. But that was, and she said to me that she's written songs for everybody. Like, she wrote Don't Want to Miss a Thing by Aerosmith. She wrote She's written songs for Justin Bieber, Beyonce. She's like,
so she knows she's one of
the biggest writers in the world. And she said to me, I've written for so many people, but your voice is the voice I hear in my head when I write songs. That's probably my biggest pinch me moment.
Oh my God, that's my biggest pinch me moment.
Just hearing that story.
It was a few years ago now, but yeah, like, I'll never forget that.
That's a confidence boost and up, isn't it?
Is she going to write a song with you at some point?
We actually, I recorded a song that she wrote and I love it, but I don't know when I'm going to release it because it doesn't necessarily fit the sound that I'm putting out right now. Right. But, you know, I would love to come full circle and work with her again.
That would be so cool. So are you actually working on an album right now?
I am. I'm working on an EP, which is like a mini album. Right. I just released a single called Lie Lie.
Love it.
And yeah, Lie Lie is kind of just about like the concept of broken trust, in the sense of like, the story is like, you want to forgive somebody and you're actually annoyed that they've done this. Like, in the sense of like, you've ruined my peace of mind now. Mm. That's what the song's about. It's about the actually trying to forgive somebody, but being like, when you go out, I'm in bed thinking, oh, I can't rest.
Yeah.
And that's like, you know, people say the whole, like, we used a lot of like mirror analogies in the visualizer and things like that, because it's all like that thing of like, once a mirror's cracked, you can still see the reflection, you can try and piece it together, but it's always going to be there.
Yeah.
So that's Lie Lie. And then my next single is, I think it's going to come out end of August. We're figuring out the exact date, but it's called Habibi.
Love it.
Yeah, it's one of my favourite things that I'm putting out. I had the visual in my head for this song before I wrote the song. I was like, I want to write a song to create this visual. So we shot the video for it in Athens a few weeks ago. And yeah, I'm really excited about it. It's like my whole EP and the whole project is like a combination of Greek and Middle Eastern soundscapes combined with like modern production and the UK sound, and like merging that culture, my culture, together. So I'm really excited for the journey that, like, the musical journey that I'm going to take everyone on with this.
Oh, I
can't
wait to hear it.
Is it quite therapeutic and cathartic when being a songwriter? Because I know a lot of people and my friends that have written books, for instance, and I guess it might be similar, might be completely fucking wrong, but writing a song, but putting pen to paper, I think. I mean, obviously, we all get our phone out sometimes and write notes on there if we have to. But I'm a list writer, and I have to have a pad and a pen in my bedside table, because my mind, especially at night, the minute it's time to go to bed, I'm in bed, I'm thinking I'm going on Dragon's Den, I'm doing this. I can put the well to rights at night when the lights go out. Do you have this thing when you kind of start writing music? Is it almost a therapy?
It is literally therapy. It is the most like cathartic thing, writing a song, especially when I go through something and then I write a song about it, and the closer I get the song to the accurate situation, it's so satisfying. Like I'll give you an example. There was a situation that I had with a guy that I was dating, and he like was, I won't swear, but you know.
Can swear here, darling.
And anyway, long story short, he really played the nice guy and then 180'd, you know, and it was like I'd never really been in a situation like that before, and I was so upset about it. And I was in Athens, I was with my manager, who I write a lot with as well, because he's a songwriter too, and I was just talking about the situation, and then he started kind of freestyling on the guitar, and I just like sung out a lot of the song and wrote this song called Trojan Horse. If you know the story of the Trojan horse, it's all about like the enemies hiding, like somebody not showing you who they are. Anyways, it turned out to be one of my favourite songs that I've written. I'm really excited for that to come out on the EP. And it makes any negative situation worth living when I get an amazing song out of it.
It's very Taylor Swift, isn't it?
She's one of my biggest inspirations since I was young, because, you know, and yeah, like, it is true. If I date you, if I have a little situation, I wrote a song called Nervous that came out last year about a guy that I've literally met like two or three times. Like,
does he know this song?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. And you know what? He recently said in my DMs. Yeah. And
his old arsehole's going, you think he's shit, she's got a right. But you know, I think that karma's a bitch.
Exactly. Yeah, but it's always negative.
And sure. Like you say, it's almost compensation, especially if you've had a bad relationship or situation. Yeah. If someone does you a little bit wrong, you don't wish them harm in life, because that's just negative, and there's no need for that. But if I'm going to get a bit of content out of it and write a lovely song that goes on forever, happy days.
Yeah. Right, if it's for the plot and if it's for the art, then it's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
It really does put like a silver lining on any sort of negative situation because I'm like, all right, cool, let's just see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can turn it around just like that.
Exactly.
I'm kind of jealous of that skill now. Yeah.
I absolutely love it. Mm. So in terms of the next single, you don't know the exact date, but you're thinking around end of August.
It's gonna be. Yeah, yeah.
Love that summer banger. Well, say summer, hopefully it comes. I'm still waiting.
I know, honestly, like I just said to the producer, like this, the UK is embarrassing us.
It's
right
embarrassing.
Now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, isn't actually embarrassing? I should have. Really.
Yeah.
And when I was leaving Greece, everyone was like to me, "You're leaving Greece in the summer? What is wrong with you?"
Yeah, I think you've got a little bit of sun back with you today,
yeah,
at least.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, yeah, today was actually quite nice. But, yeah. I mean, it's July. It's
that's our summer, ridiculous. Today.
Yeah, we
them,
okay.
Them 3.5 hours. Babe, thank you so much for coming.
No, thank you for having me.
So lovely to chat with you again. I'm not saying anything for a little while, but I always love having a chat with you and to come in the studio. I'm so glad life's going well for you.
Thank
I'm a big
you.
Believer. Good things happen to good people.
Thank you so much. Sure. Next time, we've got to go for some Greek food.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh,
anytime you want.
Love a little Greek. Great food,
yeah.
Great men,
we'll
happy
go to the real
days.
You know, my mum does the menu at the Real Greek, so she'll be happy if we go and have a bite.
We're doing it. Yeah, let's do it. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Always a pleasure to have you with us. We'll be back next week. Take care. Have an amazing week. Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.